Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing. Share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances. But most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
And the heartbeat of the masses, the collective. This is the heartbeat of the collective energy that we're hearing from Becca Shea. So we're going to do that one more time. Get your drums out. We are inviting our ancestors. We are inviting the wisdom of the Creator, Most High Yahuwah. Let us be of one mind and bring in this energy of love and unity from Yahushua, the Messiah. Let's do that one more time, one more time. Okay, here we go. One more time, here we go.
And hey, let us ransom people for God. Hey. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Hey. Well, coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Wake up, you sleeping giant.
The love and justice are
to be.
Oh yeah.
Bringing us power through unity.
Where warriors are falling, there's a resurrection coming.
Troubles, troubles come alive.
Yeah, wake up you sleeping giant.
Your heart.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for being here this evening. You are in for a real treat tonight. I met a man today named Jason Wilson, and he's all over YouTube. So I want you to meet him because he is such a special soul, such a special soul. This man has really grown. I love to see the growth in men and women, and then they teach us what they learned. And so that's who Jason Wilson is. He's a brother who's actually working on a documentary to help us awaken to our divine feminine and masculine. So tonight you're going to hear his voice most of the night. And if you have any comments or questions, don't be afraid to press 1 in the studio, and I'll open up your mic in between Jason's voice. Or if you're on Facebook Live, whatever comment you have, I'll try and post it right here on the screen so that we can hear your voice through comments. But I invite you to participate tonight because we are opening and awakening our divine feminine and masculine energy and being. We are here. And one of the reasons we're doing this show tonight, there's so much confusion. Of course, you've heard about gender and what that means. And you might be surprised to hear what Jason has to say about this topic, or you may not be. because he's a man who has grown and his spirit shows it, his voice shows it, his words show it. This man is very, very special. From hearing him, I was like, wow, wow. There were many wow moments when I heard him on YouTube. So we're going to be hearing from him, and I want to start out by giving you his story. He has his own story on YouTube, and Jason Wilson, W-I-L-S-O-N. I encourage you to follow him on YouTube and on his website, whatever he gives, because he's doing a great documentary that we want to be a part of and listening and learning. So here is Jason Wilson to bring us his story, his brief five-minute story, so that as we listen to his voice the rest of the night, we'll overstand exactly where he came from and how he is now matured enough to help us awaken to our divine feminine and masculine being and energy. So here's Jason Wilson.
Growing up in Detroit as a young boy, I faced many challenges because at 6 years old, my mother and father, they divorced. He wasn't around as much as I desired. We were in the same city, but he was absent. And because of that, I got involved in seeking these quests for affirmation. And they let me into some dangerous situations. It's not a coincidence that the majority of boys who are in gangs are fatherless. My name is Jason Wilson, and this is my story. I was aware of God. I would see my mom pray and my brother pray growing up. They both were Christians. My mother would force me to go to church every Sunday. I actually hated it. As I got a little older, I became very crafty with actually leaving church while they were in church. So she would sing, and I would wait for her not to look at me. Then I would go out the basement door into the alley and run to the arcade. Unfortunately, I didn't have a desire to learn about God because it was church culture, but I didn't hear Christ pretty much. I didn't feel him per se. I almost died twice running from God's call on my life. I studied Egyptology, Jehovah's Witnesses. I studied Hinduism. You might as well say atheism because I didn't believe as well. And Buddhism because I trained in other martial arts. Just trying to understand, you know, I knew there was a God, but I didn't see him. You know, I mean, I saw the hypocrisy. And I allowed the hypocrisy of men to stop me from getting a relationship with the creator of men. And because of that, he knew someone just preaching to me the gospel would not draw me. One of a spiritual mother at the time had prophesied that someone was going to get in an accident in her son's car. Told him not to drive. That someone was me. That truck flipped over twice. After that, I said, okay, whatever, that's just fluke of nature. I even asked her, and she told me, you're running from God, but he's going to get your attention. Fast forward maybe about 3 more years, I go unload a truck. High-low driver, bring pallets in. It happens every night. This time, the driver didn't chalk the brakes. So when the high-low hit the back of the truck, my high-low fell down, crashed on the concrete, and threw me off the high-low. And right before that accident, I'm on the phone with my wife, Nicole, telling her, if God was real, why am I in here working so hard? Why isn't he using my gifts to help people? Within a matter of 10 minutes, I'm on the ground, heavyweight high-low next to me, and I'm crying, and I say, Father, I will never go against you. I had a dream, and I saw a soldier with a sword say to me, he says, we need you to fight for us. And I said, never, you got the wrong person. So I'm screaming for my mother, and she's walking by the hallway not hearing me. And this is in a dream. I wake up. I run to the door, catch her before she leaves for work. I said, Mom, I just had this dream, and I broke down crying, and she started crying. And she said, he's calling you, but you're running. And at that moment, I started listening. If I didn't follow God's will, definitely I would be either dead, definitely still drinking, divorced, and probably not there for my kids. I don't know. But because I followed him, more importantly, because he loved me enough to call me and pursue me, because I didn't want to follow at first, but I would be nothing. He is the reason for my existence. It's not God's desire that any boy grows up without their father, but at the end of the day, it's about accomplishing his will. So the pain I experienced not having a father is worth being able to impact hundreds of thousands of people who don't have their father.
You know, in life, there's going to be things harder for you to do than other things. And you know, those things that may appear to be hard to do, you're going to have to do as a man, regardless. And it's going to take tears. It's going to take the blood of Yeshua, Jesus, and your sweat to break through it.
The Cave of Adullam Transformational Training Academy, it came from my desire. The cave came from a desire to help not only myself, but boys and men. I have a saying, I be what I didn't see. My son asked me one day, he says, Dad, how did you become a great dad when your father wasn't? And I said, well, that's a really good question. I looked at him, I said, son, I simply gave you what I longed for. And so that's all I do. I give boys, young men, and men what I long for. Even a man desires affirmation from another man. Hebrews 3:13 is one of my favorites. Encourage each other as long as it's called today, so that we will not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. So I've seen discipline and admonishment fail, but I've never seen encouragement fail. So I give them what I long for even to this day. You can do it. You can make it. Yes, that was a mistake, but the mistakes are great teachers. The only bad mistake is the one you didn't learn from.
Okay, the only bad mistake is the one you didn't learn from. I love this wisdom. Now, that's just a five-minute introduction of this soul named Jason Wilson. There's so much wisdom moving forward from this man. That was just his foundational story. And I want you to listen to his motivational speaking as we keep in mind how we are awakening to who we are in our divine feminine and masculine. We all have this energy in us, but some of us are so out of balance that we have forgot why we're here, what our purpose here. And that's what Blog Talk Radio Soul Purpose Healing is here to remind us why we are here and what is our purpose, divine purpose. Jason's going to help us. This might be a part one. In fact, I'm sure it's going to be a part one to awakening our divine feminine masculine. Hearing from a brother who has a very powerful story of victory, 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 no victim. And so we're going to hear now from him about what he says, what makes a man a man. I love Jason's transparency. That's what we all need to have, transparency. Be honest about your past and tell the truth. What made you the man you are today? But what makes a man, and what is this masculine energy that's
the work that you talked about doing on these airwaves when you were here a couple of years ago to get to the place that you are now, that you're going to be chronicling in your book. What was the actual turning point for you?
When I, for years, you know, I was the gold standard of the black community was the hyper-masculine black male. And that was my goal, and that's what I became. And because of that, you know, I held on to rage, resentment towards my father, wouldn't release the trauma of the murders of my two brothers. And so here it is, I get married, and I had no idea how to access or assess a situation and access the gamut of other emotions that God has given me. So there was no way I could love my wife like I even desired as a man, because when I grew up in Detroit, you were at risk if you held a woman's hand in public when you were like 18 to 16 or through 18, you would get rushed. They would test you to see if you was tough enough to walk through a hood, a certain neighborhood with this girl, or don't even think about going to a Def Jam or a rap concert at Joe Louis Arena with a girl. You would get what we say, you know, bum rushed or whatever. So this mentality carried over into marriage. And what shifted for me, Karen, was when my mother had developed dementia. And I, you know, here I is. I'm just a masculine male. So all I knew how to do was provide, protect, be strong, deal with the pharmaceutical companies who were taking her money, you know, just being just masculine, which is good. We need those attributes as men. The problem came in when I needed to be tender, when I needed to be long-suffering, when I needed to comb her hair, when I needed to do her nails, when I needed to bathe her. Mm-hmm. I had not allowed myself to be a human. I stayed stuck in just being a masculine male and fell under the masculine mandate, which is the culture's order for men to only operate under masculine attributes. When I started breaking free from what I call misconstrued masculinity, or basically a misunderstanding of what it means to be a man, because we've allowed one adjective to define us, you will never hear a black woman say, I'm a feminine woman, because black women have to be anything and everything they have to be at any given moment. So you'll be anything. You'll be a fighter. There's a masculine attribute. You'll be a lover. You'll be a nurturer. But as men, for some reason, we feel this pressure to only be masculine, dogmatic. And so because of that, when I started loving my mother from my heart, when I started living from what I was feeling instead of what I feared, I broke free from emotional incarceration. Okay. And so here it is now. I'm a comprehensive man where I could cry publicly. I could hold my wife's hands publicly. I could do anything. I'm free. And so a lot of our brothers, because of the culture, I mean, I grew up in hip-hop. I was a popular DJ, a battle DJ, matter of fact. I toured with Public Enemy and X-Clan. And so our music, you know, it personified as a man. You didn't see a rapper smile in late 80s hip-hop and 90s hip-hop on the album cover. One of my favorite artists at the time was Rakim. His song was I Ain't No Joke. I can go down the line. E-40 had a song, I Practice Looking Hard. Basically, he in the mirror practicing looking hard, because I had to do the same thing, or you would get in Detroit, we would call it checked in, where they'd take your clothes from you. So all we could be, Karen, was just masculine. All we could operate is under just masculine attributes. And as a result of it, similar to the Pit Bull Terrier, which I discuss in my book, here's a breed that was bred to fight and protect only. What happened to this breed over time, he became, or she became, unstable, volatile, and now this dog would what? Start attacking people randomly, okay? If it not for, like, several dog initiatives trying to rescue this breed, we would have never known that the Pit Bull Terrier is also a loving companion and family dog. Yeah, and so
my neighbor has one, and her name is Maya. And she came up to me today and, you know, sniffed me in and then licked my hand. And, pit bull, I wasn't at all afraid. You're absolutely right. The sweetest dog you ever want to meet.
Yes.
Oh. Mm,
and so when you think of toxic masculinity, there's really no such thing, because masculinity is just an adjective. Okay? So a man becomes toxic when he allows himself to only live under masculine attributes. And that's what's happening.
Oh, wait. Stop. I'm sorry. Hi.
Hi.
I've been typing to Karen. Did you hear that quote? And I've been typing. I'm like, oh, I need this. You said so much. And then I Karen, let me know if I need to step back. You know, I'm willing to follow your lead, but I have some questions I just need to follow up with you on, if I could, brother.
Sure.
You mentioned that you were getting messaging or the culture was confirming for you that this was the way to be. This is how men show up. Can you talk a little bit about what form those messages came in? How, it's one thing to say we live in a masculine society, but what was it at your young age, other than the fact that holding a girl's hand was going to get you rushed on the block?
Mm-hmm.
Where were the messages coming from? How were these messages being communicated to you? What elements in the culture were the most powerful communicators of this type of messaging?
Well, first and foremost, you know, being in youth work for almost 20 years now, the most influential person in the home or community is the parent. Mm-hmm. And so from my father, I learned quickly that I couldn't cry. I had to be tough through every emotion. And as a result, Dr. William Frey discovered, you know, that tears not only contain tears as a result of emotional pain or trauma, not only contain 98% water, but also stress hormones. So to tell a boy or a male not to cry, you're telling him to suppress what he's feeling, and suppression leads to depression. And so that was the beginning. So after I said, okay, cool. From that point on, I saw my father's promiscuous ways, okay? He'll pick me up. You know, first of all, he couldn't stay married to my mother because he was unfaithful. And then after that, every Monday was a court-ordered day for us to be together. I would see a different woman in the car with him. Mm-hmm. So that programmed me to say, okay, women are to be objectified, not loved. And so that was another message. And then when you think, you know, I came up during hip-hop, what they considered a golden era. It was certain songs I could play that would make people fight instantly because I understood the power of music and the sonic waves of certain songs. They use it actually in the military for torturing people. Mm-hmm. And so it's so many influences. I mean, but then, you know, you go back even further to slavery. So you got to think, and I talk about this in my book, because, you know, what, like my grandfather was lynched, okay, and beaten and lynched by the police in Fort Pierce, Florida. So think, let's go before him, okay, and you see one of your children auction off like a puppy. But you got five other children and a wife you have to take care of. Your heart is crushed. You're grieving. You're angry. You feel all these emotions, and you can't do anything. You can't even express it. What happens now is that, you know, you have to be the man had to stay a protector and a provider. So the way when we got free of that, my father's way of showing me love was through working hard.
Yeah.
You know, he could cuss me out and he would apologize, but the wounds, he already had cut me open, and he would apologize, but he would apologize by giving me money. And that never healed me. And so it's so many, I mean, cause and effects that, you know, we have to, you know, again, I tell people all the time, my desire is for us as African Americans, black people, to have 100 years of where we can be stable. Because right now, like Karen, you mentioned earlier, everyone has their fists up. We're like this. You know, when we're finally able to get out of this pandemic, you know, we haven't grieved. I lost four friends to COVID. We haven't grieved. You know, George Floyd, I can go on and on about all the trauma we've experienced, especially as black men seeing a white officer basically killing one of your brothers on TV. I mean, the phone broadcasted throughout the world. What does it do to you psychologically? It's telling you you're worth nothing. And so we have to fight that thought. That's why my subtitle is Waging and Winning the War Within. You know, a lot of us, we don't win the internal battles before they turn into external wars. And that's what's happening, and that's what I do with the young men in our academy. I teach you how, like Dr. Strange did in, I think it was the Endgame, when he had to go through 14 million scenarios, just pick the best one, the only chance they had to win. That's what I teach all the boys. How can you, in a split second, analyze all of your options and respond in a way that's only advantageous to you, where you don't make a detrimental life decision based on how you're feeling, but you respond instead of react. And that takes practice. But as long as we keep telling boys not to cry, not to feel, you know, only to be a certain way, he can never have the freedom to, I call it, feeling fear. I've lost so many of my friends who weren't allowed to feel fear because we would be called hoes. You know what I'm saying? So they would go to a block party. They know a rival gang there. They know the chances of them getting killed is 98%, a 98% chance of them getting killed, and they go end up getting killed. Because as men, especially black men, we're not allowed to feel fear. We're told that, you know, if you be fearless, that is impossible. Ask any father who loves his children, is it possible to be fearless? Because as soon as you see your kid walk out in front of you, it's like your heart leaving your chest. Like, where are you going? Especially if you have a daughter and you love your children? It is impossible. However, Nelson Mandela said it best. He says, the brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear. Mm-hmm. And that's what we have to understand and free our men from that. And that's what's going on in the culture. And, again, I don't know. You had mentioned to me about a basketball player, and I heard the, you know, the little sound bite. you know, again, if it's beef, hey, it's only one way to handle that. You understand? Because we've been trained. Yo, you say something about me, I say something about you. There is no peace, bro. And that's how, that's just, listen to our music. There is no reconcile immediately. So it's I'm not shocked. I don't, whoever's beefing, that's just how you do it. That's, we're taught that through media, movies. This is just how I get down, get the gun and let's go. What you got something to say, say it. Meet me somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And so that's, so until we learn how to love each other, and that's a whole nother story. When I do conflict resolution sessions, Karen, with men, and they're beefing, I say the first thing you need to say, stop saying he pissed you off. Say he hurt you. Because that was your brother. He hurt you, man. What you said hurt me. Go ahead, Karen. I see you got your fingers
up. No, I mean, you have to go. You can't stay past this time, but you got to come back. You got to come on the re-show. We got to talk about what is love. His name is Jason Wilson, Mr. Jason Wilson, Jason O. Wilson on the Twitters. The book is called Battle Cry. We're going to definitely have you on before the book comes out in September. But you're amazing. Awesome. I love you.
Love you too, my sister.
Jason Wilson. Okay, we're going to take a break. And, ooh, brothers, I hope you're listening. You got to cry. You got to learn how to cry because, as you said, masculinity is an adjective. It's a description for a male or female body. And if you don't know how to cry, you've been in a confused, deceptive state of mind of what masculinity is. So that's what we're talking about, awakening. Our divine feminine and masculine wants to release those stress hormones through the tears. All right, Naima Latif, I believe your mic is open, and we're going to go to a commercial break. So stick and stay. We'll be right back with more of Jason Wilson. He's got even more powerful wisdom to come.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 community. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my three-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Yeah. we together awaken our divine feminine and masculine energy and being. And we're listening tonight to Jason Wilson. I heard some of this brother talk, and I just had to share this with you because the brother is so, it's a soul speaking to us about wisdom. And the first thing he's talking about is unlearning society's definition of, quote, masculinity, that men are not supposed to cry and men are supposed to be this or that. And he said something in a, I don't know if he'll say that in these coming audios, but he said something about having a father that doesn't talk to you is worse, he said, sometimes, than having a father who abuses you physically. Did you hear me? Having a father that doesn't talk to you is sometimes worse than having a physically or verbally abusive father. That's some deep stuff, and that's the type of wisdom we want to hear tonight from Jason. So we're going to keep going with Jason's path out of incarceration of emotions. We got to come out of the incarceration of emotions. So, whoa, this is a powerful.
So I'm going to give you three terms, and you tell me how they relate or how they are fundamentally different.
Yeah.
Manhood, maleness, masculinity.
Yeah, they all one to me.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
The manhood, masculinity, and what was the other one?
Maleness.
Maleness. What would you say is maleness? That's what I want to know. What is maleness?
Maleness is the performance.
Okay.
Of what it means to be, to have genitalia.
Okay. I have a term that embodies all of that and even more. I call it comprehensive manhood.
Okay.
So basically being anything and everything you have to be at any given moment. So you never hear a woman say, especially a black woman, I'm a feminine woman. She will not box herself in by one adjective. My mother had to be anything and everything she had to be at any given moment. She was my dad. She was my mentor. She was my football coach. I can go down the line.
Right, your counselor,
yeah,
your pastor.
Everything. She was my protector.
Right.
She was my provider. She was my nurturer.
Mm.
Flip that into manhood. We're nurturers. I love my children. I nurture them. I hug and kiss them. Rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. He's a nurturer.
Right.
I'm compassionate.
Right.
When my mother, when I got awakened to this truth, my mother had dementia, and it hit really hard in 2010, and it was like, where did it come from? It was like a tornado. In the midst of it, you know, it was so hard for me to see someone I love so much deteriorate before my eyes. I would tell my wife, like, hey, someone don't like me, and I was talking about God, because it was so hard.
Right.
But what he was showing me, he said, son, you prayed that you would become broken so I can use you. You pray so that you can become a comprehensive man. There is no way you're going to be able to take care of your beloved mother only being a masculine man. See, masculinity, when you look at the definition, it's only a few attributes. Boldness, strength, aggression, traditionally ascribed to men. So if we allow masculinity to define us, Harriet Tubman was masculine. You understand what I'm saying? So you can't allow
that's right.
one adjective to describe us as men or just become who we are.
Right.
We're comprehensive.
And if I may, black men, mm-hmm. and you tell me if you agree with this, black men are what I call the martyrs of masculinity. In this sense, we are willing to die for a criteria of masculinity that the people who taught it to us don't even believe in anymore.
That's good. That's good. Well, I mean, again, it's culture. So I came up in the hip-hop culture. I was a popular DJ, toured with some well-known rap groups. Every album cover, you
How
never
many lives have you lived?
Hey, man.
I love it.
I was on my journey.
Wow,
so,
yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No album cover had a brother smiling. I remember a song E-40 had here, got to practice looking hard. So we were conditioned to be only masculine males. Never Scared, a Bone Crush. It was a hit record.
Right.
How many black men would be here today if they would allow fear to guide them away from an area where they shouldn't have been in?
Right.
I buried so many friends today just trying to man up when they should have just opened up.
I got about 6 minutes to transition,
yes.
but I got to get two more questions.
Yes, sir.
The first one is, how did you change?
Um,
I prayed. I knew I was rebellious. So you talked about how many lives I've had. I wanted it my way. I wanted to live the way I wanted. I didn't want to be a servant to God. Okay, I came up studying Egyptology, Pan-Africanism, Hinduism.
Yeah.
Last thing I wanted to do was serve a guy of a church that pimps its people. But he was saying, your disdain that you have, I have. But I need to let you know that I am real just because they are not. Do not let that change who I am.
So that's good.
And that's what transformed me, and that was the beginning of my journey out of this emotional incarceration.
It was a spiritual question.
Oh, yeah, well, we have to understand as man, we're triune. We're body, soul, and spirit. Unfortunately, majority of us stay soulish, emotional. We're erratic. When something happens, we respond to it instead of saying, no, I will subdue you so I can control you and walk by the spirit. That's why I'm able to respond and not react in
right.
chaotic situations.
So let me ask you this. And again, I'm running out of time.
No, I mean, you said this.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But what role do women play in the emancipation of men from the incarceration of their emotion?
Major role. My wife, it was a very difficult process. Here you got a man. I was hyper masculine when she married me. Here it is now. I can cry in front of you. I can say, baby, I'm scared to make this decision. So now she can't just push it off anymore. She can't just, because I'm hiding it now. She has to help me process this. But more so than talk to me, she had to learn how to listen to me. Because a lot of times our wives, they love us.
Right.
So they try to change the weather. And what I mean by that is, for a man, if it's raining, don't tell us it's going to be sunny tomorrow, because right now we're getting wet. That's not going to encourage us. What we need our wives to do is say, hey, baby, it is raining. Here's this umbrella, but you're so strong and you're going to get up.
Yeah.
But I'm going to stay here right now and I'm going to listen to you. I want you to reflect and I'll be your sounding board. And that's what women, it's put it this way. Their influence is so great, and you'll know this is the truth. If right now every woman in this country said, I'm only going to date a man who works at McDonald's,
everybody,
and they held true to that conviction,
everybody works at McDonald's,
it'd be a line around every McDonald's in the
right.
country.
Right.
And so that right there lets you know their power. And so my wife, without her, you know, I couldn't be where I am. She... it was tough. It's a challenge. We were going to get separated in 2015 because I did not know how to express myself. I would go in my man cave and hide out and not express myself. That's my son of year. So that's what teaches me up right there.
But let me say this, because I think there's another level to this, and the other level to this situation relates to the fact that I also feel that women have to stop punishing men who are emotional.
And can you elaborate a little more? I think I know, I understand, but I agree with you. Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
You know,
I mean, because if a man brings his emotion and his tears, right? A lot of, not all, obviously,
yes.
clearly not all, but some women will take that and categorize it and
Absolutely.
Then use it.
Absolutely.
Which says to a man,
I'll never open up to you
I'll
again.
Never do it again.
Okay, so now, I have friends like that where they want to open up, grew up hard, Lotharios, basically male whores, misusing women their whole lives.
Right.
So they're trying to shed all of this, that mentality, and open up and be open and one with their wives, and they get shut down. And you're right, they go back in hiding, and next thing you know, they start crying again, but they're crying the wrong way. Pornography, drug addiction. I can go down the line.
Promiscuity.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. High-risk behaviors.
That's right.
So this is what I tell my men, especially ones who aren't married. If a woman misuses your vulnerability, you are blessed because now you know she's not the woman you're supposed to be with.
Okay. So listen, I wanna play a video of you doing your work. And it's such a powerful video. It trended because people love this video. So let's watch it and we'll talk on the other side.
Thank you. Yeah.
You got to punch it hard enough. Punch through it. You feel pain?
Yeah.
Shake that off. Let's go. That's what this is about. Good. Let's get to that. Where are you crying? That's what this is about, son. It's okay to cry. We cry again. Why are you crying, son? Come on. Tell me, why are you crying? You fought a test for a reason, but why are you crying? Go ahead, son. Because what? Okay, good. But you did it, though. And it's good to cry so you can work through that emotion. So when it arrives again, you can push it to the side and do it. You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, good. Let's see what you got. But you need to dig hard. Tell me what hard you can.
Yeah, man. It's that video is so emblematic.
Mm.
I think of what men and women
yes.
need to learn about emotion and feeling. When you feel it, if you don't deal with it, you'll never conquer what you're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk to me about that moment.
It was just a typical moment in our academy, the Cave of Adullam Transformational Training Academy.
Yeah.
So I was shocked when we started getting all these calls. And so Bruce had actually broken that board prior just practicing for this test. All of a sudden, our phones and our nonprofit, the union, started ringing off the hook. We couldn't even conduct business for 3 days. Men all over the world crying out because they were tired of not being able to say they were tired. They saw themselves in that boy being coached and cursed out because they didn't score a touchdown, being told you better not cry or you're going to get kicked off the team. And so purposefully in that moment, where we call it a moment on the mat, every recruit has a moment on the mat where your soul will take control and these emotions will arise where we can address them before you go out into the world. Bruce's was a fear of failure. He did not want to fail because his father and his family was there as well. And so I had to tell him, it's okay, you feel the pain, but you have to push through. A lot of times we have a barrier in front of us. Like you say, sometimes God will lead you to the door, but won't open it.
Mm.
It's that adversity that makes us stronger.
Right.
And so I told him, don't allow your fear of failing to make you fail. And I told him, I said, the only time I ever failed is when I feared failing. And he was able to break through that emotion and that board, as you
What's
can see.
What's his name?
Bruce.
Let's give Bruce a hand.
Yeah.
I love it. So let me ask you this. When was the last time you cried?
2 days ago.
2 days ago.
Yeah, I work with a lot of, boys, men call me. Call it vicarious trauma, where you take on what they have.
Oh, let me tell you something.
Yes. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, no, let me tell you something. I can see somebody crying, and I don't even know what the hell they crying about. And I'm like, oh, God, my eyes are getting hot. I do not have a problem being emotional.
Yes, yes.
I see a movie. I was watching a movie the other night. Like, okay, what am I doing this?
Yes.
But you know what it is? I wasn't like that when I was younger.
Mm.
But you get to a certain age, and you just can't cut the switch off.
Dr. Williams.
What the hell is wrong with me? Help me, man.
No, you good. You actually good. You're human. You're a human being.
That's it.
Okay.
That's
if,
the whole
if we
thing.
Weren't supposed to cry, God wouldn't have gave man tear ducts.
That part right there.
Okay, so Dr. William Frey discovered that tears due to emotions of crying not only release 98% water, but also stress hormones.
Mm.
That's why we feel typically better after we cry.
Mm.
So to tell a man not to cry is basically taking away his humanity.
Mm.
And that's why we'll bottle it up, and next thing you know, something could just bump you, or we'll bump each other, and we're ready to fight instantly.
Right.
Because
right.
we haven't released
right.
the trauma or whatever we've been dealing with. So I do it every day, not cry every day, but I take time to sit still and relax and meditate so I can release everything. But also what men have to practice, some of the most angriest men I've ever met are the nicest men. So I tell men, don't be nice. Be a gentleman. Be kind. Christ wasn't nice. He made a whip in the temple and whipped money changers out of the temple. He was a gentle man. He was kind. He was good. And so what nice men in society, they'll let someone dog them, mistreat them in public. And then when they get home, they hold it in. When they get home, they have no patience for
right.
their wives.
With
and
the people they love.
Yeah,
and who
them. Love them and who
right.
deserves their best. So I
more than the people.
Yeah.
In the
so what
yeah.
I do, I make whenever someone comes to, offends me, I let them know, but it's under control.
I do the same thing.
You sure?
Not always under control.
I was about to say that.
Because you offend Dr. Sean, and we're going to have a conversation.
So this is
ain't
good.
Ain't nothing aggressive about me,
Doc. This is a good example for you, though. So, and I figured this out at the restaurant. How many times you go out to have a nice meal?
Mm-hmm.
You want to have a great experience with your family, but the waiter or waitress has a bad attitude.
Yeah.
But we'll endure it. Like
I was
supposed to, what I used to. I sit through it and endure it, and then I'm mad. I said, man, I should have told the manager. So now when a waitress or a waiter comes to me with a bad attitude, I say, excuse me, sir, I'm spending good money here this evening because I want to enjoy my experience with my family, and it seems like you're in a bad mood. So do you mind switching this table with someone else who could serve me accordingly?
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Right.
And I lie to you not.
Yeah.
They say, what's wrong? How am I treating you?
Right.
Within a matter of minutes, they start sharing their heart with me
because
right. they have stress as well.
Right, right.
And so think about it.
No, I get it.
Yeah. So
I want to change gears,
go ahead,
though,
go ahead,
because you, time? You, and
but you
no,
said
no,
it.
Not just
said,
time, and you're convicting me at restaurants.
Oh, get out of here.
Cause I'm not that nice. You served me wrong. I'm like, what the hell's wrong with you? I didn't ask for that. All right.
Oh, I hope you're getting the comprehensive masculinity summary that he's giving us. Oh, so much wisdom. If you have any comments or questions, please press 1 in the Blog Talk studio. Are you identifying with this definition of masculinity and how we can awaken to the more divine definition? Here's a little piece from Jason about unleashing your
I share in chapter 4 of my new book, Battle Cry, that it's not only imperative that we be transparent, but we become courageously transparent, not caring about the judgment we may face for sharing what's going on inside of us. And one thing I've noticed about us men is that we typically like keeping our blades sheathed. Allow our swords to be seen so that our brothers will know that we need sharpening. Stop hanging around what I call polishing partners. Men who only want you to look good will polish you to make you look like you can cut some things. But when you face with sin, when you face with addiction, when you face with your fear of failures, lack of confidence, etc., you can't even cut away at what's causing you to doubt yourself, what's causing you to want a divorce, what's causing you to shy away from that position at work that you know you deserve. Start breaking free, brothers. The key to that is start allowing yourself to be seen by those who care. Shalom.
And remember what he said about fathers, that it was worse sometimes to have a father who didn't speak at all than to have a father who abused verbally. So he has a lot to say about no more fight or flight in the parenting
sometimes
area.
Words that's not said also speak as well.
Right.
What I mean by that is if you really care, if it's, you know, something important, you know, speak it and say it. And it, you know, my father's silence hurt me more than him saying something because it communicated that I wasn't even worth his time to even talk to.
Right.
And so as parents, I just wanted to chime in because, again, we tend to always blame the child. And we don't see ourselves in it as well. And so, but we got that from our parents. Our parents would say, I don't care what you're thinking, you better listen to me and go get down. It was, you couldn't say nothing. You couldn't question nothing. So you guys are in a new era where we understand that that way of parenting was something rooted more in survival.
Right.
Okay, considering where we just came from as a people. You understand?
Yes.
And now we're getting to the place, okay, cool, let's get out of fight or flight parenting. And to listen and reason, because you're an adult. I mean, you're not an adult. You're a human being. When you get to a certain age like you are now as a teenager, we should be able to talk.
So he says in another audio, how we allow our trauma to time travel. Whoa, when I heard that, I had this. What reverse? We allow our trauma to time travel. That's why this discussion is so important if we're going to awake to our divine feminine and masculine within each of us. So hear more about discipline and desire.
Shalom, my brothers. I just wanted to share something that the Most High gave me to set me free from self-condemnation. Recently, one of my good friends was very discouraged because he's overweight, and he can't seem to stick with a dietary plan or a workout regimen. And actually, you know how we get as men, we start talking to ourselves in a negative way that, man, you really ain't a man because you can't stick to this. You would never look this way because you have a fetish for donuts and you just lack discipline. And my friend was very, I mean, he was literally tearing himself down in front of me. And because I love him, I had to counter the lies or the deception with truth. And I told him, I said, my brother, a lack of discipline is not your problem, but a lack of desire is. He stopped and looked at me. He says, man, I never looked at it that way. I said, my brother, I said, you really don't desire being here. It's a lot of men who contact me on social media, men I run into at conferences and workshops. When we step aside, brothers, we all know many of us just fake it to make it every day. And we really aren't happy with life. We're not fulfilled. We've allowed the limited definition of masculinity to define us as who we are as God's creation. And so we stay in this box, and really this box, we can't fit in this box. And because of that, we lack the desire to not only improve physically, but spiritually, mentally, and even in our relationships. And so I asked my friend, let me ask you a question. I said, what if you went to your doctor for a checkup and he told you that, hey, my man, if you don't start eating right and working out, as soon as you leave this office, you're going to die in the morning. My friend looked at me. He said, man, without a question, I will start working out and eating correctly as soon as I leave that office. And I looked at him. I said, that wasn't discipline. That was a desire. I love the way Yahushua puts it. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Love is rooted in what? Desire. Keeping something or sticking to something or practicing something is rooted in what? Discipline. So always remember, it's the root, the principle you will always want to seek. So instead of condemning yourself, take time out to identify the emotion that's stopping you from taking care of yourself. And that's what I had to do. I had a lot of trauma in my life. And just say for working out, for instance, I had a good friend named Big D, beautiful brother, phenomenal physique, strong, one of the strongest brothers in Detroit, dropped dead of a massive heart attack at 41 years old. It snatched my desire away from working out. But I just thought I was growing spiritually, and I just thought weightlifting was vanity, it's meaningless, it doesn't really help you anyway, just physically. That wasn't righteous. I was just wounded, and I was hurting because I yearned to be with my good friend. And because of that, I stopped working out and everything, and all of you know what I do. I need to be physically fit to continue to do what the Most High sent me here to do. But recently, he shared with me, Jason, it's not that you're not disciplined. It's the fact that you don't desire to do it because you feel that you're going to fail. You feel that you're not going to have your meals prepped. You feel that when your workout partner don't show up, it'll be 2 or 3 days that you don't go again. And that's when I realized motivation is fleeting. You have to have a drive in you that's bigger than you for you to do what's needed to be done. Another reason it's not discipline, I have several friends who could, great martial artists who could choke you out or tap you out within a matter of a minute. I got guys that could kick cups off your head. I got guys that could knock you out with one punch. I know men who are in like phenomenal physical shape. You can see they got an 8 or 10 pack of abs. And they can deny all the food, sweets, and everything to maintain this physical look. but they can't deny their desires and keep their penis in their pants to save their own marriage. It's not discipline. It's the desire that leads us astray. And that's what our word teaches us as well. Our desires is what gives birth to sin. Also, our desires is what gives birth to righteousness if we desire what is right. Like the Most High told Cain when he was about to kill Abel, he says, sin is crouching at your doorstep, but you must master it. But Cain's desire didn't align with righteousness because all he had to do was change his attitude and submit or present his best offerings to the Most High. And he didn't, and we all know what happened after that. So again, I just want to take a moment to encourage you all to let you know, stop beating yourselves up, my brothers. The world does a great job at that already. Love yourselves. Find the beauty in the struggle. And understand it's not discipline. Take time out. Meditate. And I'm going to do a video soon teaching you how to breathe and analyze when these thoughts come, how to look at it and let it go, or how to hold it if it has any legitimacy, and then how to break it down so that it doesn't rule you anymore. Take the time out to do that so that you can, so that those emotions and feelings will stop killing your desire to do whatever it is you need to do to not only live, but to be successful in life and to be successful, more importantly, for Christ. So again, remember, it's always the root that comes before the fruit. Same thing with weightlifting. It's always the struggle, the push, the desire to get that weight up that brings the muscle. It's the desire to live and love living that makes you change your diet. It's the desire to give your wife what you feel inside about yourself, to express true love for her and not let it be hindered by the box of masculinity. The Most High created us to be comprehensive men, and that's where we're headed on this journey. Shalom.
Very, very thought-provoking words from Jason Wilson. If you're just joining us, we're listening to Mr. Jason Wilson, motivational speaker, author, and he's working on a really nice documentary on helping men and women to awaken to their divine feminine masculinity and masculine energy, I should say, because as he points out, masculinity is an adjective. It's only a description, and as he said, the person who led the slaves out of captivity, Harriet Tubman, was masculine. So we have to look at our society's influence on how we label ourselves and identify ourselves. And it's time for us, in fact, to redefine who we are, look deep, 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 and decide who are we. So it's time for us to take another break, but I don't see, I'm not sure if Naima is with us, so let me just play a commercial, and then we'll come right back with more of Jason, some more powerful words from Jason Wilson.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
And we are back. Thank you so much for joining me this evening. If you have a comment or a question, press 1 and I'll open up your mic. If you're in my Facebook studio, just go ahead and type in your comment and I'll share that with our Blog Talk audience. We are listening to Jason Wilson, powerful man, soul, I would say, who came to this planet to wake us up during this time of struggle and challenge and trauma. I just love how he mentions how we allow our trauma to time travel. And part of that is because we haven't learned to cry, especially men have not learned to cry. So we're hearing from him some powerful lessons about what we need to do to become the divine, feminine, masculine beings we were intended. So here's another.
Shalom, question. Brothers. Just wanted to give you a word of encouragement this morning, just in case your day was like mine yesterday, and you're taking that over into today. In short, after working a long day for the Cave of Adullam, I come home and the kitchen sink is clogged up. And because I'm a responsible man, I don't let things like that just sit and sit. I get to it tomorrow, I get to it to the next day. No. I take care of that immediately. I can't stand a house that's not in order. And so, thankfully, I am skilled where I can do those things. In the process, brothers, of removing the P-trap, or that's the pipe that goes from the sink out to the drain, my knee popped out of place because I have a torn meniscus, which I'm rehabbing, you know, I'm in the process of rehabbing. So I lay on the floor in excruciating pain, trying to straighten my leg out, and it just wouldn't straighten out. And so my wife comes in, put this massager on the side of my leg, and it loosens it up enough where I can pop it back into place. I run to Home Depot twice because I forgot something that I needed to get the first time. Come home, get everything back functioning. Then I realize I still have to finalize the last 3 chapters in my upcoming book, which you'll soon be able to pre-order. And so I take care of the kitchen sink, eat dinner late, which I do not like doing, and then I'm outside finalizing, just refining some little things in the book. Then I go to bed, and it's 1 a.m. This morning, my wife says to me, "Hey, Jay, I'll take little Jason to school while you rest." And I appreciated that because there's nothing like having a woman by your side who truly loves you, all right? At the same time, the warrior in me rose and says, "Wait a minute. I can't give in to this emotion, all right? Because I know that morning time, this is my best time right here. I need to capture this. This is my peak of creativity." So I thank her, but I get out the bed. As men, especially men of the Most High, you have to learn how to click that switch on. I was talking to one of my spiritual sons recently who's in the NFL, and he's a beast. We were just talking about life issues and, you know, just things that, you know, go on in our day-to-day lives. And I looked at him. I said, "Man, turn that switch on." And he looked at me like, "What you mean?" I said, "Oh, you got a switch, brother. I done seen it. When the defense seemed like they're hitting you harder and harder, you click that switch and you just run them over." And he starts smiling because we all have that switch to click. We're all powerful. Care if you a martial artist, bodybuilder, lawyer, doctor, robotics engineer, you all have to click that switch on. Whatever you do in your life, you have to click it on. If you're a teacher, you're tired, you got to, all these, the kids are just out of line, you have to click that switch on to get order in your classroom. So that's the principle. So when I got up, knee still a little tender, but I'm at the gym right now because I'm going to get it. I got to get it. You got to understand, especially to the men of the Most High, if you're trying to do anything great for him, you're going to have resistance here on this planet, period. It is written that the ruler of this world is Lucifer, that we war not with flesh and blood, all right, but against principalities in high places. I'm telling you, I joke about this with my wife because she sees the attack, okay? I can make a rocket ship out of wood to distribute marijuana to Martians, okay? And I would have no problem with doing it, and the rocket ship would fly without fuel. But let me try to teach, train, and transform boys into comprehensive men of the Most High, men who are physically conscious, mentally astute, and spiritually strong enough to navigate through the pressures of this world. Oh, the enemy coming. Do you understand that? So in those moments, and in this moment right now, I can't just fold to that. I can't just give in to my emotions. I got to rule them. Click the switch into overdrive and run through the fatigue or the emotion that says, I want to complain. It's hard. That's one thing. Another thing I want to share with you, my brothers, stop saying easier said than done when somebody gives you advice that's hard for you to apply or good advice. Say, that may be a little difficult, but that's some great advice, and I'm going to get it done. As soon as you say those things, man, you put like an umbrella over your head or a ceiling. You can't go no higher. You know, everybody want to be hard, but not too many brothers want to do things that's hard. You know what I mean? It's like, come on, man. And so I encourage you, when you wake up, you know, this is, if you're a man of the Most High and you pray, my prayer is, Abba, you know, thank you for this day. Please give me rule over my emotions so that I can be rejoiceful and glad in it. Complaining, it doesn't do us any good. However, venting or sharing our cares with someone who cares does. But complaining, man, come on, it's a major difference. So again, I'm going to go in here and get mine. And then after that, I got to finish up this book. You know why? Because I got a lot of brothers who need to know how to wage and win the war within. We're good with these, but we're not good with this, and we're not good with ruling this. All right? And we got to get healed and get this renewed so that we stop getting distracted by everything that we see out here. Because everything in here and in here, this is the war. This is what you got to deal with. You got to wean your soul. Get that under control so you'll stop being a slave to your emotions. Staying in bed because you're discouraged. Don't get me wrong, brothers. You know I'm the one with being able to release toxic thoughts and negative emotions. But if I get knocked down, I'm getting right back up. Like the scripture said, a righteous man will fall 7 times and still arise. We can't keep making excuses, man. We just can't. If you're going to accomplish anything, now there's reasons things don't happen. You face obstacles, tests, and trials. But trust me, whatever you're called to do, you can do. Have a blessed one, brothers, and fight the good fight. Fight the right fight. Don't waste energy on things.
So we are listening to Jason Wilson, One Soul, who is dedicating his life to encouraging, inspiring, and help us rethink what masculinity means. And that's why this is part one of awakening our divine feminine and masculine being and energy, because this person covers a lot of ground on the masculine side. But we want to hear from you. So press one if you have a question or comment. So we're going to go to the phones. We've got a couple of callers who have pressed one. So 312-802, your mic is open. Welcome, and thank you for calling in. 312-802, is your mute button on? We can't hear you. 312-802, one more time. Okay, we'll come back to that caller. We're going to keep going. We had another caller who pressed one, and I guess they changed their mind. So we'll come back. We'll be here for another 30 minutes or so. So we want to talk about now how to bring home order to your home. if you've been in a toxic situation or you've just been in a place where there's confusion, conflict, arguing, here's some words of advice.
I think it was yesterday. I was on Instagram, and I saw your post about coming home after working here, right?
Yes.
And it seems like a tornado hit your house.
Oh, yeah.
Everything was in disarray. And when I saw the first clip of the video, I'm like, whoa, what happened? You know, because I know how orderly you and Makai are, okay? And but then I saw it juxtaposed to what happened when you came back home. And so often, and I love about your post, you say a comprehensive man can come home from work, kiss his wife goodbye on her way to work, spend quality time with his baby children, and bring order to disorder. You were tired when you got home, but thankfully you have been trained not to let your emotions rule you. Instead, that you must rule your emotions so that you can finish your day the right way.
Yes.
And so often as men, we blow that opportunity. You know, I say the car, because when we come home, we're tired. We're sitting in the driveway or the garage for about 30 minutes. So I say the car is the grown man's tent.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember one day when I got home, I had a construction company. I was really tired. And I'm sitting in my car, and my instructor at the time, name was Kajana Seshawayo, rest in peace. He calls me. He says, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm sitting in my driveway. He says, for what? I said, well, I'm just getting off work, and I'm tired. And he says, you didn't, he said, no, I didn't train you to allow your emotions to rule you in any moment. You must rule them at all times. I said, what are you talking about? What does this have to do with training? He says, right now, you're denying your family of love, joy, and peace because you're tired. He says, right now, put that emotion of being tired off to the side and go home and bring joy to your home. You know, you exuded what a comprehensive man is when you came home yesterday. So I just would like for you to share, man. You're young. How old are you now, Chris?
28.
Okay, everybody. He's 28 years old, okay? And ironic, I was 28 when I got married. I didn't respond the way you did. Okay, of course you've been trained differently. You know, you're miles ahead of the game than I was. But I want you to share, like, when you first got home, you know, how did you stop yourself from snapping like so many of us as men do?
Right. So one thing, you know, the first thing is that on my way home, I was talking to my wife over the phone, and she told me that my son was napping. So what's funny about that is if he's asleep and it's, what, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, he's asleep, that means he's about to be up for another 5-6 hours. So who's going to have to be up with him? I am. So even before I pulled up, I had to mentally get ready to take care of him as long as I needed to, you know, while he was up playing and running. My son, he's one who is very energetic, very enthusiastic.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, man. Climbs on everything. And so, you know, I walk in the house, and, again, I see a disaster.
So right here I'm going to play the video for those of you who can watch, and I'll talk alone for those of you who are listening. So right here, I mean, right just from this clip right here, there's papers on the floor. What is that? The car seat, toys everywhere. And this is when you're walking in, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. I'm going to push play here. All right, let me pause right there. The couch is a mess. Yeah. The living room's a mess.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just toys everywhere. Most men, I'm telling you, because I talk to them, they lose it. And your wife, but your wife works.
Yes.
Midnight as a nurse in, what is it,
Trauma.
One, thank you. Yes.
Number one.
Trauma hospital. Yeah, in Detroit.
Yes.
So she's tired as well. And most of the time we quickly want to blame someone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So early on in our marriage, when we first had Canyon, right? Mm-hmm. When we first had our first son, I was frustrated whenever our house wouldn't be in order.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll be like, we got to figure out a way to keep it up. But I had to begin to learn that it's not as easy as it seems to just take care of a child while you're at home with them, especially the older he gets, right? The older the child gets, the more energy they pull from you because you have to give them so much more attention.
And Micaiah breastfeeds.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
She has, you have two children.
Two children now. Yes.
And then so. She has to go to work at for midnight, okay?
Yeah.
And so that's a lot. And so, as men, we forget that, you know? And not even, and then for our wives who do work, and say our children are at a babysitter, we have a nanny at home.
Yes.
And we get home. Wife is just as tired as we are, you know? And if we are used to or feel that we're entitled to a special treatment and our wives aren't,
Yes. That's
when dissension creeps in.
Yes.
You know, and so I'm going to push play again, man. I just want you to just elaborate. So right here, you're seeing all that, man, the kitchen, that's Graceland.
Yes, that's all right. Graceland.
And Kenya was somewhere else. And the kitchen is not in order.
No, right? it was a sink full of dirty dishes.
So imagine, fellas, you come home, you're tired. As soon as you walk through the door, the entire house is a mess. Canyon, was he on the couch? I didn't see him.
He was around there playing.
So your son's playing around, two-year-old son.
Yeah.
Graceland is playing around. How old is Graceland?
Graceland is 6 months.
6 months old. And your wife is getting ready to go to work.
Yes, sir.
So the emotion says, man, if we're not comprehensive, basically able to articulate how we're feeling, of course, you know, but also being able to process those emotions in that moment so that you won't be ruled by them.
Yeah.
So, of course, you're going to feel anger. But then when you really take time to process why you're angry, then you can realize you probably shouldn't be angry.
Absolutely.
Then you can understand why this home is this way. And so when I juxtapose that to what's happening now, and this is the beautiful thing about being a man, a comprehensive man, per se, being more so than a man, because you want to be able to bring peace and order to everywhere you go.
Yeah.
So for you to come in your home and to bring order and peace in a matter of moments, and then to rule your own emotions to bring the peace and order inside yourself. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we allow our souls to take over and control us, which we know the soul is the seat of our emotions. And so we easily allow just ourselves only to operate in anger and frustration instead of just taking a moment and say, well, wait a minute, why am I angry? Why am I frustrated?
Yeah.
It's something we as men all definitely have fallen short on. I don't know if you have fallen short on this yet, have you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Can you name a time when you came home and you lost it?
Yeah, I mean, like I said earlier in our marriage, there were times where I would come home and, you know, I would clean up.
Mm-hmm.
I would clean up and put the whole house in order.
Mm-hmm.
And then when she would leave out, it would be a mess,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be pissed off,
mm-hmm.
because when I'm home with the children,
mm-hmm.
right, I can take care of them, clean up the home, and then go to bed, and everything
mm-hmm.
is organized.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't understand why she couldn't or why, you know.
Do you understand now?
I do understand.
Enlighten us, brother.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, you know, one thing I would say is that there's more on her than on me. So, like, the children respond to her differently than they do me. My wife was their food for so many months, and
mm-hmm.
she still is my daughter's food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they demand, it's more demanding on her body, right? It's more demand. She's more emotional, so she's more aware and affected by when one of them cry or when one of them seem like they're not getting the attention that they need. Whereas me, I'll give them attention. I'll, you know, tend to their emotions. But then I'm like, okay, at this point,
yeah.
I just gotta figure out a way to occupy them and
yes.
put things in order.
Yes.
But she, you know, responds and deals with them differently than I do.
So you mentioned your training. You says, I've been trained to not let my emotions rule you.
Yes.
Can you explain to the men or young men listening now or watching, what is that type of training? And I know you're probably talking about the cave, but and other things in life as well. And then could you tell us, like, is there something that they could do if they don't have access to what we do? Like, is there something in their daily lives or something they can do when they get home, or what could they do to train themselves where their emotions won't rule them in a moment like that.
Right. So, you know, for me, training training to rule my emotions and not be ruled by them. So in the cave, especially when I was undergoing training as a student and not necessarily as Jason's assistant, there were times when Jason would test us in a way that, you know, you would break in a minute. You would want to be done. And then the next go round, he would want to push us further. And he would push us to the point to where we had to pull from within ourselves to go further than we ever have or thought that we could go, right? So if it's a push-up and I'm pressing for 20 push-ups, right? Now my body is burning, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. And then, you know, Jason will say, all right, you're going to go for 3 minutes straight, nonstop, now go. And after about 1 minute, you feel exhausted. You feel like I'm done, it's over. But then you have to flip a switch and just keep going and figure out and find a pace to keep pushing yourself until time is up.
Is there anything you'd like to say before we close out?
Well, one thing I would say, or one way I would close, is as men, our emotions are so powerful that we have the ability to bless people significantly or curse and hurt people. Mm-hmm. You know, think about the generations that are affected either positively or negatively based on the way we allow our emotions to rule us. So I would just say, be very mindful of how you know, allow your thoughts and your emotions to dictate your actions.
That's very good.
And try your best. Strive to be a comprehensive man and rule and deal with all of the issues and the things that, you know, you fight and I guess battle with from within on a regular basis.
Yeah, that's very good. You know, I'm actually thinking, you know, of, you know, a lot of times men say, well, how do you know the right time? Because just say like with you, I'm pretty sure you and Micaiah had conversations on, okay, what can we do to keep things in order? How can I support you? We already know, I've witnessed a couple where you talk with her like, okay, what do we need to do?
Yeah.
A lot of times as men, when you talk about using your voice as a, or become a source of healing than a source of pain, I talk about in Battle Cry, the huddle principle. And so Tom Brady just retired, and I use him as an example when he played the Atlanta Falcons. And they were getting blew out, you know, and could you imagine if he would have came back to the huddle, said, hey, man, you know what, I already got my rings, you know, I got enough rings right now, and I'm hurt, you know what I'm saying, I'm sore, and no team has ever come back from a deficit this great in Super Bowl history, so we straight, let's just chalk this up. The entire team morale would have been
done.
Yeah. As a husband, if you would have came home either with that mentality or the other, you could have changed the entire outcome of that situation in the worst way. Instead, like Tom Brady or any leader, we have to read the room. Read, okay, is this a good time for me to talk to my wife about this? Probably not, because she's on her way to work. You get it?
Oh, yeah.
And so you went to your huddle, which is your home, and said, hey, we're going to get this in order. Have a great day, babe. Kiss her. All right. Mm-hmm. And you took care of it.
Yeah.
And you won that game. And as men, we have to understand that huddle principle. You don't want to bring – you got to understand what your team can take.
Yes.
You know, certain players can take that Mr. Brady's arm is hurting. He can't really – he doesn't feel strong throwing the ball.
Right.
Other teammates get discouraged. And so for you to know that, read the room in your huddle, read what's going on, and call the right play and then execute it. You know, I give you a lot of props, especially at 28 years old, all right? And so the longer we allow our lives, gentlemen, the longer we allow our lives to be defined by this world, who really doesn't even understand what a man is anyway, as long as we define by what we do, we'll never be become who we truly are. You know, it's like, well, who we truly not are, but created to be.
Yeah.
Everything will be up and running soon, especially the membership-based trainings where literally, fellas, I'm going to give you everything that I have to help me win and win the wars within daily. All right. Again, thanks, Chris, for being here. Take care, fellas. Shalom.
Shalom.
A beautiful soul sharing his experience, his journey, and his wisdom. Let's go to the phones again. We have 312-802. Your hand is up again, so your mic's open. 312-802, are you there?
Yes, Sister Lori Williams. And I want to say that I'm just awestruck. It's not much I'm going to talk about. But you, your guest, the man, is powerful. I'm happy to see you in here. If you're doing fine, and I was very concerned about the ocean coming across Florida. You okay, darling?
Yes, ma'am, we're fine. Judgment has to come through the water. But I've been on the beach the last couple of days, and it's beautiful where I am. So, yeah,
okay.
I'm on the east coast.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy. But this gentleman, this is Mr. Wilson.
Yes. Isn't he beautiful?
Let me say this. I am awestruck by this soul male. What can you do? Okay, he's written a book, correct?
Yes.
I must have it and put in my library for my young boy's grandson. I don't know what can we do with a man like him. He is just so exceptional.
Yes.
Sir, you are just a fantastic example of the balance between maleness and femininity. The balance that you and we should have. They talk about black women are overly aggressive. And yes, we can be. But in our souls, you know, in us human beings, it is so beautiful to hear someone who speaks. Female solution is not the lover. Tell me, was there any woman in your life that has influenced you in this way, please?
Can you say that again? Are you asking a question?
The female solution is about the woman, the mother, being an example for the children, and especially the boys, to teach them humanity and compassion. My question to him is, who were the women that inspired him?
Well, he's on YouTube, and I don't remember him saying exactly. His mother worked a lot. His mother provided for them. His mother took care of them. His mother was very busy, a very busy woman. And I think he learned to turn the negative into the positive. He experimented with various religions. And so I'm not sure if any particular woman influenced him more than another. He hasn't said that other than his wife. But he has a book out, so I think all of us should invest in that book. And he has a documentary he's working on. So we especially will be interested, or should be interested in watching that documentary that is going to improve the lives of a lot of people. I didn't hear that.
You want to buy it?
You know what? I can send you the name of the book and where you can. I'm sure you can buy it at Amazon.
Please,
I'll find out. Yes, I'll find out the name of the book. How are you doing, sister?
It's fabulous. It's been a progress of that example of life. I'm getting to that point. You'd be surprised. But it's okay.
Yes.
It's a survival process,
yes,
even for myself. So I'm just happy,
yes,
to hear your,
yes,
voice up. Please.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. We've got a couple of callers. Thank you so much for sharing your voice and your wisdom. And I'll be in touch. I'll get the name of the book and where you can buy it.
Okay. Darling.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, have a beautiful evening, a beautiful week, and we're going to go to 702. Your mic is open. Brother Kwame Sunhorse, I believe.
Yes, good evening, Sister Beata.
Good evening, how are you?
I'm really grateful, and good evening to Pastor Williams. I'm really taken by this young man and being able to hear, you know, a generation that perceived themselves in defining manhood or masculinity or maleness. And that's very powerful because we are in a time of great change. And the divine feminine and the sacred masculine, how do they unify? Because that's what the Aquarian ages or era is leading us into. And the part of hearing that which I've heard another, because I was on a blog show, and there was some young brothers that out of California, and we were all talking, and they were saying, we need to start having the front porch. The women have the round table or the mound table, the kitchen table university. We need to begin to have the front porch, because this is what men would do, sitting on the front porch or sitting on the steps and be able to discuss from elders, because a lot of young men that are coming of age now are absent of fathers. And these are the challenges of these defined men by media, by, you know, mentorships or different ways in which manhood has been trained or they've been taught. But the absence, like you said, the absence of the father even being there but not saying anything is almost as bad as having a father that abuses you, because you have a young boy growing into his adolescence with no one to guide him, but through media, through different friends and that. And then, you know, there are groups that are mentoring young boys, because I've got two opportunities now in December to go back to Texas, and this one in Texas is this sister is doing what's called bro yoga, and what she has is she has a yoga studio where she's teaching black men about yoga and helping them to mentor each other as elders and young men come together in her studio. And she does a retreat, and she's asked to come there to do a sweat lodge. And these two opportunities have presented themselves. And this is something that is this new era. Everything is in divine order. And looking at defining masculinity, because, you know, I always say a man is M-A-N stands for to make another nation. What does a man need to know to make a nation? Because that's what he's creating when he finds a wife and he creates a family. That begins a nation, another generation. So these are very important times for us to look at. You know, you have the female solutions, and then Naima started the last Wednesday of the month of the men's table circle. These are the parts that we're needing, because women are creating and giving the divine feminine their energies as helping girls to turn to women. But we have to look at, okay, if the sisters are working on sisters, we got to find a way that brothers have to start working on brothers. And these are the challenges that we need to focus. And I thank you and commend you for bringing this forward at this time, moving into this new season, which October always used to, as my elder Hannibal Afrique said, this is African Holocaust Month. This is the time when Columbus was given his day, and they removed him because it wasn't a true day, that Columbus never came to this Turtle Island. So, but it was the time in which the trade started, in that discovery of Haiti and Santo Domingo, which was the islands in which Columbus, you know, infiltrated with the slave trade. So we always looked at, you know, October is African Holocaust Month and November is Native American Month because of what went on with the pilgrims and that thing. So we decided that we give these other 2 months besides February.
That's great. I love that. Thank you for that information, because you're so right. We have to rewrite our history. We have to redefine these counts. You know, Kwame, it's interesting. When we think about the calendar and the days, I walked out of this door where I'm staying today, and the moon was so bright. But it's a half moon. But it reminded me, and it followed me as I took a walk, and it reminded me, for those who keep the Gregorian calendar, this moon is very foreign to them about what this moon is saying. So a half moon is really saying, rest a moment, take some time, rest. This is actually a rest day when you look at how the moon is waxing. And we're redefining our connection to nature when this happens. If we can look at the moon differently right now, that moon tells us who we should be following and how we should begin to relate to our genders and all the things that we're being told with in confusion. Just look up at the moon. Just look up at the moon.
But even looking up at the moon, and that's an excellent point, because divine feminine, the part that we're looking at is as above, so below, because we have six planets that are now retrograde. You have Mercury, you have Uranus, Jupiter, Saturn, and it's even more special because Saturn is closest to the Earth that it has been in 59 years. It's being able to be able to look at Saturn through a pair of binoculars and see its rings. Is that how close it is to the Earth? And it's like a morning star when you see it. And Uranus, Pluto are also, and Neptune are in retrograde. So that means that everything has to be looked at in the motion of the energy, is taking an inner look at what is a man, what is masculinity, what is maleness. So go back and check ourselves. And so that's why I say thank you, because all things are in divine order.
That's right. So don't think we're excluding the divine feminine conversation. Just look out at the sky, at the feminine moon, half moon, speaking to us about waxing energy. And Jason is doing a great job of sharing his relationship to his wife and to the people in his life that bring out his feminine energy. We've got one more caller. Thank you, Brother Kwame Sunhorse, for that knowledge and wisdom. And we've got 773-250.
How are you? Greetings, Grand Rise and my sister. So excellent
Grand
program, Rise. My brother.
Good evening, grand evening, yes.
Yeah, good evening. But anyway, so it's a good program on the brother that can actually reach inside himself and do more than just be that hardcore masculine, which doesn't always touch the basis of anybody. Unfortunately, that traditional way of thinking doesn't ever give women a proper due. And there's a lot of clashes in that. Matter of fact, it's interesting. It's young man, I had old guys tell the girl anything she wants to hear to get what you want. That seems kind of backwards to me. No wonder you got a lot of children nobody wanted just because somebody lied to you about something and never even cared. Wow. So in a more mature vein of thinking, I'm grateful that you did the program, because a lot of men need just the idea of opening up their minds and sensitivity.
Well, as he spoke, Brother Obadiah, as he spoke, a lot of men need to cry. When's the last time you cried, Obadiah? Because he says it releases stress hormones. Are you crying a lot these days, Obadiah?
No, crying like that, I mean, you need to cry is not a big deal. I think that's what people do naturally. If you feel the need.
People, what about you? Are you? It's not if people cry.
I haven't had anything to cry about. Actually, I'm blessed because I'm in a position where I can be helpful to other people. So most of the time, I'm just grateful being where I'm at. I found my sole purpose. So when you do that, you don't struggle with emotions and that sort of thing. You just kind of go with the flow.
Okay.
Nothing wrong with having emotions. There's nothing wrong with repressing them if you don't feel that you're safe. Put them out there. But when it's time, let go.
Well, just be sure and encourage the boys, the little boys in your life, to shed a tear if they need to, because it's going to help them in their future adult life to live a stress-free life. And they're crying now as children. They won't maybe have to cry as much as adults. Thank you, Obadiah, for sharing. And we have, I think, one more message from Jason. I may have played this, but flip the switch. I'm not sure if I played this.
Shalom, brothers. Just wanted to give you a word of encouragement this morning, just in case your day was like mine yesterday and you're taking that over into today. In short, after working a long day for the Cave of Adullam, I come home and the kitchen sink.
Yeah, I played that already. Okay, so I think there was a No More Fight or Flight in Parenting. Played that one. Okay, we're going through all the, I think I covered them all. What Makes a Man, Path of Incarceration. So we have heard tonight a lot from a brother who is transparent. And that's one thing I admire myself and my father and all the men in my life who are transparent, that they're willing to share what they're going through and aren't afraid to be vulnerable, and especially to show their feminine side. So if you're having a struggle with being vulnerable, with being transparent, or with shedding tears, now's the time to open up to that part of yourself and realize that we're all born of water. So we're going to play our favorite meditation. Close your eyes and think about, for instance, when's the last time you cried? When, how much stress have you been holding, even since your childhood? What did your parents teach you about crying? Is it time for you to let go of that belief system that boys or men are not supposed to cry? Let's just meditate on born of water and what we were meant to do as human beings in these bodies, to remember of all this water inside of us, it's meant to come out. Because if you didn't get anything else from Jason's message, is that men are supposed to cry freely to release those stress hormones. And he says the power of music, he mentioned how the power of music is beautiful to bring about a shift in our thinking and even in our energy. So let's take this time to close our eyes and breathe in and out and let go of any of the stress hormones that you haven't been able to release through your crying, through your tears. Now's the time.
I am born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changing. I am born of water, cleansing, powerful, healing, changing. I am born of water.
And we are coming to the end of this show. If you have any questions or comments, now's the time to press 1 because we are really grateful to have this knowledge and wisdom come to us. And as a summary, you've heard the word comprehensive man tonight a lot. He talks about the fact that man is unlimited in how he can be defined. There's so many ways, and that's the same for women. Women and men are unlimited, and it's up to you personally, me personally, to decide what our purpose here and how we want to define ourselves. The masculine energy within us can be a nurturer, can be long-suffering, as well as strong and supportive in every way. So let us take the time in this week and balance out this energy, keeping it healthy and strong. We've got tomorrow on Monday morning mindfulness, Zelda's going to be talking about slavery from Roman Empire on. So be sure and join Zelda tomorrow on Monday Morning Mindfulness. It'll be Lionel Abdul-Haq will be bringing a movie review of The Gladiator. That's something new for me. I didn't even know there was a movie out there called The Gladiator. Oh, unless that's an old movie. But join her tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for some breathing and mindful meditation. You don't want to miss it. So if we don't have any more comments or questions, we're going to play our closing greeting tonight. Thank you, Indy. And I hope this has been helpful. Please share it with your friends and family as we have brought you part 1 of Awakening Our Divine Feminine and Masculine. Next Sunday, we're going to talk more about the Divine Feminine Awakening and the relationships that are so important for us to build this peaceful society that we all desire after so much turmoil. And I have to say the storm has passed in Florida, but as many of you may know, South Carolina is underwater practically. So please keep your prayers going for the people in Florida as well as South Carolina. And I haven't heard any more news about any other state besides Florida and South Carolina, but let's just uplift all those who have lost homes or valuables, but mostly give thanks that this storm has been cleaning the air and renewing our negative ions in the atmosphere. So this is really a time, if you're in the Florida area or South Carolina, to breathe in all the good air, clean air, negative ions that can really help us balance all this feminine and masculine energy. We've been in a toxic, corrupt situation with systems that need to be dismantled, and that's what's happening even with the storm. You know, the scripture said that the Creator would not flood the earth as he did in the time of Noah, but we are seeing lots of floods all over the East Coast and throughout Florida. And so this is a time of judgment. And we here in Florida are still in hurricane season. Hurricane season ends for us in November. So we'll be keeping the faith and taking dominion over any storms that come our way. And so thank you all for your prayers as we've survived and overcome Hurricane Ian or Ian. And the next one, same thing, overcoming, having faith, preparing, but keeping the faith. That is the truth we want to encourage you to do no matter what the storm, no matter what you're facing right now. Prepare now and keep the faith. So everybody have a beautiful week, and we'll see you tomorrow on Monday Morning Mindfulness.
We've come come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie.
Xiexie.
Zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, jeonkunyo. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, shukran, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.